Fucking dude, I'm surprised I'm not chipping porcelain.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're talking to Ron Bauman. It's like the 14th or 15th time, and we're going to talk about Woo, William Shatner, and his dumb mom.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
That's me.
And we have back for, the 15th time?
14th or
15th. 14th or 15th time.
Jesus.
Ron Bauman from the Tortuga Twins.
Woo! I'm the reigning world champion.
That's amazing. Applause from the audience.
We love having Ron on. And we are recording in the luxurious Deepwood Mott Studios, which means you might hear a dog bark or a cat make a sound like it's dying. And the audio recording sound might be a little different because we're back to the old familiar snowball. That's right. Ron, what are we talking about today?
Okay, I'm not an expert. I know that you guys have a lot of really knowledgeable people that speak about things that they know about or studied about or they experienced firsthand, and I'm not an expert. So I just bring up things that I feel strongly about or want to discuss or open up as a gateway. And I actually wrote an intro to this one. So let me... Yeah, I know. Right. I'm prepared.
He's got two pages of notes.
Three, actually, but there you go. Typed.
It's not double-sided, though.
And so before we commence today's topic, I want to say, as a preface, that I'm going to immediately and enthusiastically describe my mother, the woman who brought me into this world, as stupid.
All right.
Before doing so, I need to clarify that I love her. I used to respect her. She used to be smart and savvy, and that I am perfectly safe describing my mother as stupid because, quite honestly, she's too stupid to figure out how to listen to a podcast anyway. She'll never know.
All right.
Now, in defense of this very controversial position, I want to point out that my mother fell for an internet lottery scam a year or two ago. After being scammed in two other very obvious ways that I said, Mom, don't invest in this. It's a scam. And she did it anyway. It gets better. This happened one short year after her more stupid husband fell for the exact same scam at twice the outlay of cash. But even after I pointed out that this entire thing was a scam, she should not in any way send them any money. She did, and finally asked me, well, if I'm not getting the millions of dollars, at least I'll get the new car after I pay the taxes, right?
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
This woman was brilliant, and it terrifies me. So, originally, as a way of introducing today's topic, I wanted to say, is William Shatner now a force for evil in this world?
Ah.
And then, since I'm not the only comic genius that works in my troupe, Ricky pointed out, no, you should ask, is William Shatner now a force for the dark side in this world?
Yeah.
Fuck you, Ricky Robinson.
That's some grade A trolling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this all came up because originally my mom, I should preface, I love William Shatner. I love William Shatner.
Yeah.
I met William Shatner. You guys saw all
I
that.
I saw. Blah, you looked like a kid on Christmas.
Oh, God, it was adorable. And,
yeah.
But this whole topic is the prevalence of woo and bullshit and nonsense and fuckery that is everywhere right now.
Yeah.
And it started, and you guys can stop me anytime and jump in, but let me just get into it here a second.
Please.
It started because my mom likes to call me up and say, Johnny, my middle name is John, and she calls me that to make me crazy. Johnny, you need to be watching this show right now. Mom, I'm never going to watch this TV show, and when it's broadcast, I have a DVR. I'm a grown-up. I know how to do these things. So she tried to get me involved with this show called The Unexplained.
Oh.
Mom, what channel is The Unexplained on? Oh, it's on the History Channel. Okay.
That's weird because history is pretty explained.
Is it on the night of History Channel? Because at night it's Nazis. Or is it the day of History Channel? Because then it's aliens and bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, it's day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So anyway, let me read this part because I was really proud of myself. Yeah. Now, you may well ask my mother, being an idiot, ties into William Shatner, and if you do not, I am going to pretend that you did to fit in with the narrative of my copious notes. And not only does it say copious notes in my copious notes, but in true Inception fashion, that note was also in here too. So we're right. So I watched this episode of Shatner, and again,
okay, so the unexplained has Shatner.
There actually are two unexplained. There's the unexplained, which is spelled incorrectly, and unexplained files, which also has Bruce Greenwood, who was also in one of the Star Treks. So apparently all unexplaineds on History Channel must have a Star Trek actor.
So the unexplained that your mother told you to watch is hosted by William Shatner?
Hosted by William Shatner, who does a fine job of spilling bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like the very first episode, the very first segment of the first episode was firewalking. We all know how it's done. We all understand the basic.
Yep.
It has absolutely nothing to do with the audience getting into a trance-like state and their mental energy.
And
I'm like, really? I couldn't make it through the first episode.
Yeah.
They're not even as good as what's the Leonard Nimoy one that they recreated?
I was just looking that up in Search Up.
I enjoyed, but was very credulous. You know, I mean. As a kid, I believed in all that Eric Von Donkin stuff, and I believed in all this stuff, but...
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, I was super into all the Ripley's Believe It or Not and the conspiracy theory shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's entertaining.
I watched a lot of In Search of when I was young.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, when I went to Loch Ness, I drank some of it because, you know, I wanted to have some of Loch Ness in me permanently.
That's fair.
Maybe Nessie was there, though DNA... reports said that she's not.
I was obsessed with Loch Ness as a kid.
Right. I read all the Von Donkin books. I read all the Bermuda Triangle books and stuff like that. But this is the History Channel.
Yeah.
Right.
What's wrong with the world? And then last year or one of the previous podcasts, I asked, are we losing?
Yes. Right.
Are we losing the fight? Because we all spend this energy, you know, trying to debunk stuff, trying to make people think rationally, trying to make people explain things. And this show's making more money than we'll ever make.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
And has more of an audience and more followers than the four of us combined, which is, I mean, not to like jerk myself off, but that's saying something. We are all pretty popular entertainers in our fields and have pretty significant followings. I'm just saying.
But we are not William Shatner.
We are not.
No, but even if this show was hosted by someone else, I don't think Shatner's the draw. I think Shatner's a bonus.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, cool, Shatner. But no one's like, well, I'll watch this because it has William Shatner. It's
except for myself and my mother, yeah. But that,
sure.
He's the hook for some people, but not...
That's fair.
Yeah, and not the first bite.
And again, he's delivering these lines with such earnest and everything, but it would take...
Shatner always delivers lines with such earnest.
But it would take seconds to debunk any of the things that he's covered so far.
Or even just... The modicum of skepticism.
Thinking critically.
just very, very little critical thinking skills just to think, that seems kind of bullshitty to me.
You know, it's interesting, the Van Danikenism. I never read Van Daniken books. Ron, you and I are about the same age.
I knew it looks better.
Yeah, no question. But
one of you lives on the road and one of you lives in a house. That's all I'll say.
I know which one I'd fuck. That's all.
It had better be me.
Anyway.
That's a whole different podcast.
Which one of us, Nick, would fuck aside? The first thing I ever saw about Van Daniken was on PBS. There was a show that was debunking Van Danikenism. So it went through the like some of the really popular Van Daniken stuff and then said, oh, and by the way, this is bullshit.
What is Van Danikenism?
Can you just bring it?
Chariots of the Gods.
Yeah.
The pyramids, which, by the way, I never viewed it until recently as such an extreme form of racism, but the pyramids could not have been built by any non-European cultures.
Excuse me, they were so black. Do you have any idea? There's no way.
Well, it's
it's aliens.
What's the other term? Exospermia, right?
Well, panspermia is the idea life originated from outside, and there's some possible scientific support for that, but that doesn't cover the fact that you savages could not have built pyramids.
Sure.
So aliens, therefore aliens. Aliens are the gap, I guess.
Was like, they look at those. Look, you can't even fit a sheet of paper between these stones. There's no way that peoples of ancient times could have had the mathematical ability or the tools to finally carve this stuff.
Well, and there's the idea
nor
that
the stones have settled over time.
No, the stones
that
don't settle.
That doesn't make any sense.
There's also the idea that you know that such vastly separate cultures have pyramids, and you know, and such vastly separated cultures, you know, have the idea of dragons, and then there's the very interpretive ideas of pictographs and everything that do not in fact show a man in a space helmet, but could.
Right. You know,
if you were looking for a man in a space helmet,
yeah,
you might
pareidolia.
Absolutely.
Pareidolia.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, dude, I love the idea of the Nazca lines. I love the idea of the Nazca lines. I really want to know how they perceive them, since ostensibly you can't see them without being elevated, and there was no way to do that.
But they didn't make them for themselves. They made them for the gods.
Right. How'd they lay them out? I mean, clearly, there was an alien.
They used graph paper, just like you do in elementary school.
I mean, seriously.
I wrote a research paper in ninth grade about vampires, and let me tell you, when you're looking for vampires, you find them everywhere, too.
Yeah.
When you're looking for something, it's easy to find it.
So, how old's your mom?
My mom is, I'm 54, 72.
All right. So, there's that whole thing about the older you get, there's some proven science that you can lose some of your critical thinking skills.
It's in these notes.
Oh, all right.
Your mom had you young.
18, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a different time.
I know, but still. I mean, I'm not that much younger than you. I'm only like a decade younger. My mom at 23, I thought was super young, but she tells me she felt old.
19?
His mom was 19. Yeah. How old was your mom when she had you?
25.
25? And you're the second one? Your brother's
I'm the
older?
First.
You're the first?
Heather was 33, I think.
And see, that's more, my mom was 38 when she had my youngest sister. And they kept telling her she was a geriatric pregnancy at 38.
Oh.
High risk.
Oh, speaking of that, and this ties into that, and this also ties into the counter of this.
Great.
Hey, viewers or listeners out there, if you're tired of stuff like, you know, Chariots of the God and the unexplained, Adam ruins everything.
Oh, yeah.
My daughter, my 11-year-old daughter, she just left from a visit, and mostly what we did besides hang out was watch Adam's ruin everything.
It's great.
She loves it. And one of the things I pointed out is that this idea that your eggs dry up and you're at much greater risk, it's all bullshit.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Yep.
Did you see his Mount Rushmore billboard?
No.
Okay. So to promote the show in Rapid City, which is one of the biggest town on your way to Mount Rushmore, basically, his show put up a billboard that has a picture of Mount Rushmore and it says only 20 miles to Mount Rushmore. And then the side of the billboard is Adam with the Adam's Ruins Everything logo saying, it was built on stolen Native American land. And like here, just to...
That's beautiful.
And people in South Dakota were very upset.
I can imagine.
A bunch of white people in South Dakota were very upset. So, yeah.
He's taken a really hard-ass bent on some of the stuff. Because some of the stuff he's just presenting it objectively, but some of its stuff he's really dishing out a hard left, and I'm like, okay, brave.
So your mom gets you to watch The Unexplained.
My mom gets me to watch The Unexplained, and what you're pointed out about because I've read about the articles, I haven't read the articles, I haven't done research of the articles.
Yeah.
But the idea that as you get older, you lose critical thinking abilities.
Right.
And is that true, or is just that generation not used to critical thinking?
Mm.
Because I can't imagine... Well, for one thing, I knew my mom when she was my age.
Yeah.
I have a lot more critical thinking ability and a lot more technical know-how than she did at 54. At 54, I had to fix her computer. At 54, I'm now fixing her computer.
Did your mom self-identify as an intelligent and learned person? Is that something that she valued?
My mom has gone through a bit of a shift. And again, this is not just about mom, but this is about society as a whole. My mom, because the first homosexual I met was a friend of my mom's. My mom, I have photos of her in the 70s dressing in an Indian sari from our Indian neighbors. She was this open-minded, brilliant, you know, go-getter, go-go boot-wearing, you know, thing. And then over time, she's become a closed-minded, helpless racist. And I'm like, what the fuck happened to
you? But did she prize her intelligence and her ability to learn? Or was it more that she was like an open person and maybe not necessarily really into being smart,
cerebral,
but very into being loving and caring and open-minded?
She's very into being a wife.
Okay.
Of a very closed-minded racist guy.
Yeah, because like my grandma, before my grandma had dementia, she did not value herself as being intelligent. That was not any... She was, I'm just me. You know, she was never told she was smart. And maybe she wasn't. I don't honestly know. I didn't really get to know her very well until after she had Lewy body dementia, which starts slow, but, you know, my whole upbringing was my grandma's a ditz. She's just a ditz, which we now know is a symptom of Lewy body dementia. But, like, that was never a prize thing for her. So I remember when she first started slipping and we got her, like, a DS to play Brain Age, to, like, play the Sudoku and the games to help keep her sharp. It didn't hold her interest much because it wasn't something she prized about herself. But I see my mom, that's a big part of her identity, and I wonder if it's going to be this, if it's going to be different because of that.
But your mom uses Facebook like a boomer.
Oh, my mom Twitter is such like a boomer.
In a way
my mom
where
is the bluest of boomers.
I'm not going to say she like falls for shit, but she's the type of person that even though she used to be a lawyer, she might post something about like Facebook owning all your photos and you have to share this.
That's true.
Thing.
Every Obama conspiracy photo, every, you know, every.
That's my mom with Trump.
Yeah.
So I heard an interesting theory about this, and I was thinking about it a little, and I don't know how, if there's any science behind this, so this might be kind of wooey or whatever, but one of the big evolutionary advantages that's built into our brain that we've kind of relied on over time is this pattern recognition, right?
Right.
And that pattern recognition sometimes works against us, and you know, if you're in the wild, it can work for you. Something strange, you don't recognize it, you respond with fear, or at least, you know, caution, right?
Sure.
And some of that feeds into racism. You're not around people of a certain ethnicity or nationality or whatever. You're never exposed to it. It's therefore strange, different, and you know maybe scary, right? The more you get exposed to that stuff, the less weird or you know unknown it is, right? The older you get, the more you see, the more patterns you build up in your brain and. And you stop kind of relying on thinking about things, and you rely more and more on this pattern recognition autopilot.
Sure. And being settled.
And being settled.
Yeah,
right.
You know how the world is. You've been around.
And those muscles atrophy with time.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because I hadn't honestly thought about it in the way that Molly just described yet, but my mom has always played herself off as, oh, here, do this for me. Oh, I'm not smart enough to figure this out. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if it's coming around. I actually wrote, because there's some, you know, two other topics. Uri Geller is still selling things.
How
Uri
Geller,
he's still alive.
I mean, because only the good die young. Okay?
There's the miracle. Hey?
There I am. And so one of the questions I had to ask is my mom drawn to the History Channel, and I use history in air quotes, because she's dumb, or is she becoming dumb because she's drawn to the History Channel? But other than sewing and occasionally knitting, she doesn't do anything anymore.
Yeah.
She sits on the couch. She lets the TV dictate to her. She doesn't plan. She doesn't grow. She doesn't... There's no inquisitiveness anymore.
My mom does that a lot.
Because I'm terrified of that generational
stuff. My mom did that a lot, too, with reality TV. That is all my mom watches, is reality TV. She fucking loves it. And it is her favorite thing. And she will try to get me to watch reality TV shows. Now... I also know my mom is never going to hear this because my mom is too much of a narcissist to actually take part in things I do. God, I hope she listened. But, I mean, she won't. But what's interesting is she got on Twitter and it became very important to her to have a lot of followers. And she has over 10,000 followers. And she tells me this a lot. But it's because she follows anyone and then they follow her back. She does this thing where it's like, you'll see like people be like, follow Friday, like everyone who retweets this, I'll follow, and you follow me back, and so it's and like
it's bots.
We're part of the hashtag bots. Blue wave, hashtag resist, hashtag you know Eddie Blue no matter who, like, and she thinks she's an activist, and this is her activism, and so to her she's using her brain, she's really being really like critically thinking and saving the world, but she's not. It's a trap, very similar to this The Unexplained show, which is like. Think about it. But it's not saying think about it. It's saying, we just said a thing. Think about that. Which is the same as these Twitter retweets that she's
and
doing.
We're going to give you something controversial to believe in, even though it's been debunked countless goddamn.
And all they have to say is, why aren't people talking about this? And everyone's
I'm just
like,
asking questions.
I'm just asking questions.
Checking off.
Except that they're not. They're presenting it like, you know, and again... Mae Jemison became an astronaut because of Star Trek.
Yes.
Okay? And I love that. And I saw this great special about how Star Trek changed the world and about all the scientists are like, I became a scientist because of Star Trek. And, you know. Right. And, dude, I love Shatner. Love him, love him, love him. I don't think he's a brilliant man.
No, he's a fucking asshole lately, too.
No, he's gotten really, really into, like, making fun of social justice warriors and...
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's gone.
It's just an old white man needs to find a voice, so he does it by saying hashtag triggered snowflake.
I don't attribute malice to this necessarily. To me, it's like, he's a curmudgeonly fuckface. He's been able to get by with being more brusque than usual because he has this amount of celebrity to rely on. So people, you know, give him a little more leeway than they give anyone else. He gets away with a little bit more. And he's getting old. And he doesn't understand concepts.
Getting old. The dude's 90-something.
Yeah. And to be fair, when I was on the recreation of the set, he was sharp.
Sure.
I hope that when I'm 87, I can tell a story that well.
Yeah.
I hope I can command an audience that well.
My grandpa was super sharp up until he died. He was also a fucking asshole. Like, he was he was a good man, but he was also a sharp. And, like, if he had been alive now, he would have been saying the same shit Shatner's saying.
That's how much of his life, how much of his time did he spend performing?
Right.
And... is that like something he's kind of, you know, got down to his core memory? Like,
I believe if I ever suffer major brain damage, no matter how bad it is, just start doing the Robin Hood show and I'll follow right the fuck along, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I literally done it in my sleep. I also wrote this one down. I want to share this because Byron's coming in a minute.
Yeah.
At the event that I went to meet Shatner, not only did I pay to go and you know, meet him in a bar and, you know, pictures and all this crazy stuff, which is great. But also, I went to a theater talk, and I snookered Byron Miller into paying for this same theater talk. And instead of what we expected, which is reminiscences on his most famous role and stuff like that, he started spewing some woo. I remember manifesting things. He said something about manifesting things, and he actually quoted the old 10% of the brain chestnut.
Yeah.
Byron says, I remember crystals and chakras, but as he said, he quickly stopped listening so he wouldn't lose all respect for William Shatner.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But to be fair...
To be fair...
I'm going to stop saying that. how much money is in churches right now?
Oh, yeah.
Billions and billions.
You know, and go on any dating site on the planet, and 50% of the profiles have Myers-Briggs personality tests on them. And there are also... modern astrology. There's no science behind that science.
It's about as valid as what's your Hogwarts house.
Yeah.
I would say
No.
Here's why I don't.
I'm a Hufflepuff motherfucker. Yeah, yeah, I am
exactly.
A Hufflepuff.
Here's why I don't call it modern astrology. Astrology just says, I don't care what you think. This is what you are. And Myers-Briggs is like, take this questionnaire and then we'll say. And so I feel like there's a little bit more validity. It's a personality test, to be sure. There isn't any kind of scientific data behind it. But you answered a bunch of questions, and it told you something about you, as opposed to, oh, you were born on April 26th? You're a Taurus. You came out of your mother's vagina at a time that means you're very stubborn and obsessed with worldly goods. And it's like... okay. Like, I mean,
yeah,
so,
but it's.
And if it had been 5 days earlier, you would have been completely different.
You'd be a whole different
person.
It's
still the same confirmation bias. It's still the same. You interpret what you want out
absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely.
You know. But
I was having a conversation with a daughter of somebody who's a good friend of mine at dinner the other night, and the daughter was talking about how she'd been doing some research online and came to the conclusion that she was a demisexual. And she told her mom this. Her mom's like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Sure.
And then her mom was reading her palm a couple months later and was like, oh, look, yeah, obviously you're a demisexual. I don't know why I didn't see that sooner. And I was like, I've got a pretty good idea.
No, it's because once she realized it, her hand changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, right, because your life experiences manifest in your palm.
Yeah.
Right.
As you can tell, I masturbate frequently.
Which is actually kind of funny because sort of it does, in that your hands age more than any other part of you. I mean, it's a little weird, but like, actually, if anything is going to be read about me, they always say if you want to be able to tell a person's age, look at their hands more than anything else, because you can't hide your hands.
I used to honestly believe that your memories were recorded in your brain mechanically, and that the folds in your brain were how the memories were stored.
Yeah.
When I discussed this, I had already debunked it in my own head, but when I discussed this with my neurosurgeon friend, she's like...
That's basically, like that is... When I asked, I don't know, there's so many times that like you try to bring something up to a person of science and you're just like, oh yeah, I know I'm about to sound really stupid, but I'm just going to say, and then you say it and they're just like, oh honey.
Yeah.
Have you found that you hold on to, here's a great example.
Yeah.
We've been quoting and living by the rule in the Tortuga Twins for years that, listen, venting doesn't actually help. Mm. All venting does is add to your stress level, and now stress is a second person. Mm. And we got that from an article that we read, an unsourced, can't find it anywhere, don't know the science article. And we've been living as if it was fact. And it's so interesting, you know, living this evidence-based, very skeptical, very rational, critical thinking lifestyle, to find these little bits of, oh, where the fuck did that come from? You know, or old stories about the band XTC and stuff like that. It's like, I can't believe anything anymore.
Yeah.
And some of that shit is, that's when you start getting into like the subjectivity of reality. And it's like, if not being confrontational in that particular way works good for you and the group of people you're with, sure. That's not necessarily hard science. That's just... you know, the social dynamic that you happen to be in.
Is any of psychology hard science?
Yeah.
So, let me tell you a quick little story. When I was in the hospital, and they were putting me on all these different drugs, when I was in the hospital the last time, where it was the bad time, and it was really bad,
right.
And, you know, Nick and my mom were my main caregivers, so they would talk to Nick and my mom about what to do, and Nick was getting very frustrated, because the doctor would say, we want to put her on this, and he would say, why does that work? And they'd say, we don't know. But it usually does. So it might. And that is a very frustrating thing to hear when you are a logical-minded, critically thinking, reason-based human being with the one person you love more than anything in the world who can't really like answer for herself, and you are charged with making these decisions. And so it's a big part of psychopharmacology is, oh, it turns out this medicine that's used for seizures, if you give it in a lower dose, it might work for depression in certain brains. Wow. And that's nuts.
Yeah.
This painkiller that we primarily use for animals...
Mm-hmm.
When given in small doses, can rewire your fucking brain and cure your depression.
Yep.
Ketamine.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the frustrating thing about it is that we might not know why it works, but the results are reproducible and you can measure them.
Okay.
So the second you can reproduce something... and you're writing it down.
Yeah.
That's science. I mean, that's.
I talked to Stephen Novella from Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, and I was of the opinion, because I was one of those overdiagnosed hyperactive children. Mm-hmm. It was back before it was called ADD. What would we call it, just hyperactive back then?
Yeah, hyperactivity.
Yeah, and they put me on Ritalin.
I don't know. I wasn't that. So.
And Ritalin just made me even more of an asshole, because Ritalin is just speed.
Turns out
it wasn't for me. It worked just great for my brother, though. It literally stunted his growth. And so I was talking to this Harvard or Yale practicing, you know, neuroscientist, and like, this is what I believe. He goes, well, actually, no, that there's plenty of studies that show this, and there's physical changes in an ADD brain, and blah, 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 blah. And I was taken aback.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't aware of that. And yet today, I even have enough of a slight cast of anti-prescriptive bias, because David Avocado Wolfel or somebody from Natural News was like, oh, well, ADD is made up by the pharmacy companies to do this. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yep.
But I do believe that ADD and depression and are overdiagnosed for people that just want the pills.
I think that a lot of
don't
things
want the hassle.
A lot of things are overdiagnosed.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in psychology.
If people think a pill will fix them and they're more willing to do that than go through the work that is therapy, which therapy is certainly work. You know, some people might think that that's the easier way to do it. That doesn't mean that they're not depressed or they're not going through some shit or that their feelings aren't real and valid.
Yeah.
They just might not have that same chemical imbalance, or it might be minor, or I don't know.
So getting back to this concept of woo, because I think that a big, there's a lot of overlap here.
There is.
In that we
hey, have, it worked. This topic worked.
Yeah, it did. Because like so much with psychology and we're told to like kind of not so much take it on faith, but like it works a lot of the time, and it probably won't work for you, and you won't even know for 6 weeks, right? There's that kind of idea. I can see how that could very easily lend itself to the veracity of a juice cleanse. You know, oh, you have to go on this juice cleanse, and it's going to take 3 weeks, and it may or may not work for you, but it might.
And they've co-opted our language.
Yeah.
And like the deniers,
yeah,
the 9/11 truthers and stuff are using all the words. Oh, I'm a skeptic. I'm a moon landing skeptic.
Right. Yeah.
No, you're a conspiracy theorist.
You're a denier.
Yeah.
Yep,
you know.
Yep. Yeah. It's very common to have the overlap.
But let's circle back to the depression for a second, because I used to be a strip club DJ. And the dancers all knew which doctor to go to.
Because it's in Florida? Because it sounds like a Florida show.
Of course. Yeah. Of course it was. I was. That was my winter gig for a couple of years. All right, guys, let's get on up there and tip that big fat cow, even though she can't dance her way out of a paper bag.
If you haven't
bag.
Watched The Good Place, watch The Good Place.
Oh, I watched
The Good Place.
Because
I think about you a lot.
I watched The Good Place.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 It's a certain, some Florida moments.
Yeah. Florida man is a real thing.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
And I'm from the most Florida of Florida man.
Jacksonville?
No. Tampa Bay area.
Oh,
really.
Okay.
So they knew who to go to get whatever pill they wanted.
Right. Yeah. And there were some doctors that would do a test and ask this, and the others like, here's a script, and you know, you're hot, and you know, everything like that.
Yep.
And it's obviously abused.
Sure.
But then
every medicine.
Every fucking thing's abused.
Right.
You know? So
I saw
people abusing the mental health care like inpatient system. Honestly, like, there are people who are like, nah, I don't want to, I mean, especially with eating disorders, I don't want to get better. I like living in the hospital. I like
it's
it better.
Easier.
It's easier.
It's,
life
they,
is easier.
They
here.
Take care of everything
so,
for you. You don't have to make any decisions.
So whenever the doctors come and they ask me if I feel like I'm ready to leave, or they give me tests, I do my best to make sure I see them. I'm still crazy because I don't want to go anywhere. I don't like living outside the hospital.
I don't want to speak about your experience, but I mean, from what you've told, what you were telling me while you were there, and what I observed in others there with you, it's, they literally, sorry, this is a bad term to use for, but they take everything off your plate so that you can focus on your therapy and focus on
getting better,
on the routine that makes everything easier to focus on, you know, all
recovery. Weight gain or stability. Or
so you don't have to think about what time to go to bed or what time to wake up or what to eat or when you're eating or what you're going to do that day or any of that. They got it. You just take care of you. And I could see how that would be incredibly alluring to some people. I'm not that flavor of lazy. And I don't get it. But I could see how others, that might be a thing.
Today, I am 8 years and 1 day sober.
Congrats.
Yeah. I still smoke weed like a fiend, so there's that.
But weed is so much better.
I know.
For
well, I mean, I still get bad ideas. I just am too lazy to go out and do anything about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was my actually, I've got a vaporizer in the car. But I was concerned about quitting.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky in that I'm not wired in a way that I needed to. But I went to a couple of meetings, and I was like, oh, no. This is not for me.
We have a really good episode. We have a couple of episodes with some people who are not great people about AA.
Oh, God.
And how it didn't work, and they both turned out to be super assholes.
We did a couple episodes about AA as atheists. And,
I just realized
I know.
Both bad.
I wanted to be a chemical dependence counselor for a while. I took all the classes for an entire year of, community college to do that, and the psychopharmacology aspects were the most interesting to me. But AA and other recovery programs, they all have pretty close to the same rate of success,
which is pretty close to about zero.
It's around 5 to 10%. They're all in that range.
Basically, and it's people who help themselves.
It's the reason is because 5 to 10% of people decide to change.
And can
have the resources and the support and whatever they have else they have going for them to make the change. So if AA works for you, great. But, you know, so might something else at the same rate.
Yeah, I was lucky, and I'm aware that I'm lucky. I just never had the first drink again.
But at the same time, like, it wasn't... Now, I could see... But do you feel like when that happened to you, when you were like, I'm going to quit, and you went to a couple of meetings, and it was a little bit wobbly at the time, right? Were you more susceptible to woo? If someone had said, you know what's the best way to quit drinking is you drink, like, there's this drink. And maybe it wasn't even like something you had to pay for. You can make it yourself, right? And they're like, anytime you think about having a craving, you drink this. Or anytime you think about having a craving, you just need to, like, bathe your face in the glow of this lamp or anything like that.
No, I approach the same way I do everything. You know, when I was diagnosed with cancer, I became really well versed on here's the science behind the cancer you have and the treatment and the side effects. I missed one. That was kind of interesting. Well, that's interesting. And we'll discuss about that off air because it's kind of... like,
suck it, listeners. We get the goods.
Yeah. And it was a surprise. Like, somebody probably should have told me about this, but all right, that's fine. And so I knew that there were shots that you could do, but I wasn't that kind of alcoholic. And it was just, I mean, it was that. I wasn't about to... Dude, I've had my moments of panic where I've said, if there's a God, help, I could use your fucking help. And then I was like, well, I was kidding. I didn't mean that. But, you know, it wasn't going to be
that. Was there any help given at the time?
No, I didn't need to ask for that. I was just scared. Especially with my show, people hand us beers. With my show, people hand me flasks. Think about that. A drunk friend of mine called me up a couple years after, 4 years after I'd been sober, and was like, "Oh, I it's so hard to not drink." It's like, it is not fucking hard.
Yeah.
Nobody hands you a flask in your life and says, "Drink this," or we're not giving you money. They do it in mine, and I don't. Fuck you.
Yep.
So, it has only made me more of an asshole.
What I would love to see you do is the next time someone does that, take the flask and say, cheers, and then just upend it, and then just stare into their eyes while you dump it out onto the ground and be like, is this what you were hoping for? Is this why you handed this to me?
I sell an illusion.
That would be a beautiful thing.
I don't let people know whether Scaramouche is straight or not, and as far as I know, he's a party drunken asshole.
Sure,
and that's fine.
Yeah, I get that. we need to move on to 5 questions, but before we do, I want to make sure that there wasn't anything. I know you've got pages still, but like, back to your mother.
For real. Mom, I love you.
She's not listening.
And William Shatner.
For real though, is there any situation where you could,
it's gotten to this point.
Yeah.
My very bright niece, who was basically raised by my mother, now has power of attorney. My mother is not allowed to write any checks or send any money to Nigerian scammers or anything.
Yep.
And she's only 72 and she's mostly functioning, but she just can't be trusted with her own life anymore. Which plays right into the, oh, Johnny, you fix this. Oh, I'm too dumb to do this thing.
Do you think she has... Has she been tested for any kind of dementia? Because my grandma was in her 70s when we all just thought that she was dumb and she was getting dumber. And a lot of Lewy body dementia presents in a really different way. And it's not genetic, it's not hereditary, it just happens like a lightning strike.
Here's the thing. So, you remember she had that aneurysm surgery a couple of years ago, and she was kind of playing it up that she couldn't remember, couldn't think, anything like that. But it was obvious that it was at least partially an
ruse.
Attention,
you know?
Or...
So, yeah.
Maybe like... The whole thing of like, we become what we pretend to be.
It's gotten so blurry. You know, what she needs to do, get up off the couch and do something.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Active mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's not. She's chosen another path and it's not a good path. But I just don't understand. I mean, and it's obviously some of it's hope. Oh, I'm going to do this and they're going to send me a check every month. No, they're not.
I would love to see, I really am looking forward, not looking forward, but I mean, I'm interested to know what's going to happen in 20 years. When you and Tim are in your 70s and Nick and I are in our 60s and like, there's this whole, for real though, in 20 years, when
one of us is going to be dead.
No. You guys are
I won't be in my 60s in 20 years.
Oh, fuck you. So, okay, so when this is happening and people who are of a generation where both people of all genders were told that it's good to be smart. And college became a thing you were just supposed to go to, as opposed to like something that was only for the smartest of people, right?
It became the baseline. Yeah.
And just this general, like, I feel like we've had this general push toward it's better to be learning and to try to learn, and with the internet and everything else, all this information, if we're going to have the same rate of recidivism.
And also us specifically, when's the last time you sat around and did nothing?
Yeah.
You know, my do nothing is I'm reading this. I can't listen to music in the car. It's got to be a podcast.
I listen to audiobooks.
It's got
to
be a podcast.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the last time I did absolutely nothing, it was like because I worked at Renfest and I was so tired, or I was so sick that all I could do was sleep.
Yeah,
that's different.
I listen to music in the car all the time, but I'm a musician.
Yeah,
that's different.
I recently had two or three pretty boring weeks for medical shit, so that was the last time I actively did nothing.
You still didn't do nothing.
But there were some times where I just laid down and shut my eyes and tried not to be
sick,
in pain.
Though.
That's
here's the analogy for it. So, a couple years ago, my mom, I came into town. She lives in Louisiana. I came into town. She lives on a plantation. My mom lives on an actual, honest-to-God plantation with her racist fucking husband. I'm like, this is a little too obvious, Mom.
Yikes.
Tone it down a bit.
Not even trying.
No. But she goes, Johnny, I need you to fix my printer. And I got frustrated. I go, how the fuck did you ever get to this age without being able to do X, Y, or Z?
Yeah.
And she stopped me and goes, listen, there's going to come a time when Scarlett... Or no. She got mad at me because I changed her diaper. And I stopped and go, listen, Mom. There's going to come a time when Scarlett has to fix whatever technology for me.
Yeah.
That's just the circle of life.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know that's true.
I don't know.
I don't really know that it's true. I mean, other than Twitter, there's not any real technology that's gotten away from me.
When I was a kid, we had even though we were dirt poor, we had a Commodore 64.
Certainly.
We got an IBM PS2, like a 386, like pretty early when the 486s had just come out. Like we were not cutting edge, but we were on Prodigy and on the internet like really early.
Mindspring.com.
Yeah, and so my dad doesn't. This is how my dad has a cell phone.
Oh my God.
He has a prepaid phone that he has turned off, that he hasn't activated, in the glove box of his truck, locked. That way, he'll always have it, because he's never anywhere where his truck isn't. But if there's an emergency, he'd have to go out to his truck, pull out the phone, turn it on, pull out the prepaid card, and activate the phone to use it. I tried to call him to get a hold of him to let him know I had a surgery coming up and shit, and we couldn't get a hold of him, so it's just like, cool, well, going to surgery tomorrow. And finally, he was like, oh, shit. Okay, he got guilted into, like, keeping his phone with him.
Yeah.
But in order to activate his phone, he had to call me and ask me for his phone number.
Wow. Yeah.
Because that's how...
And he's a smart dude who prized himself on being a smart guy.
He's an engineer.
Yeah.
He's,
no. I don't think we're doomed. I think that we're seeing the last gasp of a boomer generation that was told they didn't have to be smart. They only that there were smart people out there doing the thinking.
Ooh, letting the scientists do it. Yeah,
the scientists and the engineers, and they were handling it. And all you had to do was just listen to the news and go to work and be a wife or be a husband and work your 9 to 5 and put in your hours and get your pension and retire. And I think our generation, Gen X and millennials. Like, coming through, it's going to be a whole different world because of the technology gap.
People who weren't at least as young as in their, let's say, teens and 20s, when the internet became common, once those people are dead, I think it'll be a different story.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Then again, by then, we'll have, you know, AI plugins doing the fact-checking and eliminating all the bunk shit for us. And if you can't afford those services, you get inundated. And if you do, anyway.
All right, it's time for 5 questions.
Yeah.
We're
going to make this one easier.
Yes.
Because
Ron has 5 questions for us,
Abby. Yeah.
Actually, we're going to do 5 recommendations.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. What I'm looking for is things that were good, do not get enough press, and you cannot have recommended before in any other question.
God, why boy, didn't you tell all right, me about
tricky,
all
right. Tricky.
Fuck. Let's do it.
Well, there's a couple that that we may recommend.
The after goal 15, is we don't get the show interrupted by the doorbell. That's my goal.
Okay.
All right.
So let's start with, tell me a book. Tell me a book that you recommend.
The Secret History by Donna Tartt.
Oh, yeah.
This is my favorite novel. This book is about a group of young classicists. They are learning Greek, specifically classicism, at a Vermont college in the, I want to say it's the late 1980s, early 90s. And at the very beginning of the book, you find out that they kill one of their classmates. And then the book jogs back and the story up until the murder, and then the book goes past the murder a little ways. And it is fucking incredible. It is one of my favorite stories in the whole world. I think that you would love it. Ron, okay, specifically. I think all three of you would love it, but I haven't
read it. I've read it. It's great.
I read it when we were dating. Your recommendations are top-notch.
Yes.
I read it when we were dating to impress you.
Aww.
And I loved it.
And it worked, apparently.
Yeah, it's good shit.
Tim?
Hey, I'm the worst for book recommendations, but the book I read most recently, because I enjoyed the movie and I wanted to see how different the book was The Martian.
No, oh, it's ooh, such a good book.
It really is a good book. And there's a lot in the book that is not in the movie, which, from somebody who's kind of a movie nerd, it really interests me to see how they make changes from the book to the movie. And every change, everything they took out of the book, I was like, nope, that makes perfect sense how they took it out of the book. I'm really glad it's there, and I really like it in the book, but it makes perfect sense why it's not in the movie.
They kept so much of the humor, or at least the style of the humor.
Yeah.
The book and the movie are both, they're remarkably funny.
Yeah, they're both very funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both really similar, but they're very definite differences.
Audiobook has a great narrator, and the same author has another book that takes place on the moon that's great.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So there's this British chap, Nick Harkaway, who writes fucking head fake
epic
science fiction-y novels, and he wrote this book called Gnomon, Gnomon. Super fucking good. It's about 5 or 6 different stories with different protagonists who are real and fake, and oh, it's really hard to explain. There's a lot of
Nick Harkaway books are hard to explain.
Yeah, yeah. There's one in particular that I think you would like, Ron, that we'll talk about after. But Gnomon is the most recent. It's fucking great.
All right.
I can't remember if I recommended a book called Bad Voltage, which was an early cyberpunk novel by a really odd author named Jonathan Little. So I'll just drop it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my absolute bar none favorite vampire novel of all time was written by two splatterpunk authors,
mm-hmm,
John Skip and Craig Spector. Okay. It's called The Light at the End. Now, I will give you this proviso. It was written in the 80s, and they used some words there that we don't use anymore.
Yeah, yeah, I listen to Stephen King audiobooks. I hear you.
Yeah.
can't listen to It with your windows down.
I just saw It number 2.
Yeah.
So enjoyable.
Yeah.
I have given away no less than 10 or 12 copies of this book. And then, quite by accident, a couple weeks ago, became friends with one of the authors.
Oh.
Ah.
And I'm like, what the hell happened to that happen? All right, moving on.
Yes.
Let's do the same thing in a movie.
A movie recommendation.
Again, mm-hmm, something that didn't necessarily get enough press. It's really good.
Strange Days. Angela Bassett.
Fuck movie. Yeah, that is a great movie.
It's a quintessential cyberpunk movie.
Mm-hmm.
It has all the elements that you look for in a great characters, good story. Everyone's there's genuine emotion, and there's a little bit of action, but not too much. Highly underrated as like a cyberpunk classic.
It's great.
I really will never understand why we don't have more movies in the cyberpunk genre, because it's noir, it's sci-fi, it's, you know, human touch. There's everything there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that movie.
I will go with, I just had it in my head and then I lost it. Hold on. I've got to go back to it. Nick got me so excited about talking about cyberpunks.
Do you want to
see? You can go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as long as we're going, film noir science fiction, I'm going to recommend Dark City.
Oh, yeah.
Which I imagine everybody in this room has watched.
Oh, a couple times, yeah.
But it's so fucking good.
And City of Lost Children right alongside it, really.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a great trilogy
right
there.
Alex Proyas.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Not another teen movie.
Fuck yeah!
Yes!
So okay. Good!
This is a fantastic parody satire, like, before satire parody movies became garbage.
And it's Captain America.
It's got Chris Evans. Uh-huh. It's got a bunch of characters you recognize. Yep. Nope. It's really, really fucking funny.
Everything about that movie was perfect.
It's really
Even
funny.
Even the Marilyn Manson fucking music video associated with it.
It's super great. Yeah. So yeah, check it out.
Oh yeah, God. I'm going to go with... And I've been proselytizing about this. Yes. In fact, there are people who share the stage with me. It's like, we don't want to hear about this movie anymore. Reefer Madness, the movie musical.
Oh.
The movie. It's available on Amazon Prime.
All right.
If you think you love, what's her name? Kristen Bell now.
Yeah.
You're going to love her more.
Oh, shit, I love Kristen Bell.
It's... you will cheer and applaud at the lyric, when Jack gets drunk and rapes me. It's there, and that's only the third best song in it. It is subversive and brilliant and amazingly well acted and catchy as fuck. If you don't come out of it whistling, listen to Jesus, Jimmy, there's something dead in your soul.
Okay? All right, recommendation three.
Okay, recommendation three is a restaurant here in town.
Ooh. A restaurant here in town. Ooh, Kai's Sushi in Chanhassen, which is close for you here because it's actually more toward Fest than right now. K-A-I, Kai's Sushi. Really great, very rarely busy, decent prices, amazing sushi. I love it. They have soy wraps, which if you don't love seaweed, you can actually get like... it's the same as a wrap, but it's made out of like a soy paper or whatever. I love it. Really great. I highly suggest the fancy rainbow roll. That's my jam. Yeah. What you got, Tim?
Vina, Vietnamese restaurant, V-I-N-A. They have really good pho.
This is so self-serving for me because I'm going to
have all these pho. Yeah, obviously. You're here for a few more weeks. Yeah.
So there's two restaurants that are revival. One in South Minneapolis and one in St. Paul. It is the best fried chicken in the Midwest.
Southern food.
Southern food, like soul food. It's good. The restaurant smells like a dirty wash rag. The fried chicken is like gnarly, big, breaded nonsense. The Tennessee hot was legitimately hot. Not too spicy, but very good and spicy.
What's the name of the place?
Revival. What I understand, I want to... what do they call it? The Poultrygeist is their ghost pepper... fried chicken, and that's what I want to try next time, but I understand it is legitimately incredibly spicy, and the Tennessee hot was genuinely hot, so I'm looking forward to trying that. But like, go there with a couple people and get like a whole bunch of sides and just fucking try everything. A friend of ours got like a vegan thing there that was a huge big ass bowl
of cauliflower
and like southern fried deliciousness.
Recommendation four.
Oh, wait, no.
Are you going to give us a restaurant?
Suzette's.
Ooh.
Have we talked about Suzette's?
Yeah. Cafe Suzette is what it used to be called?
No.
No, I'm thinking Barbette.
Yeah. It's in past Jordan, down 169.
Oh, Suzette's.
It's this guy who escaped from the killing fields in Cambodia.
Okay.
Went to classical French training. It has... I go there every year. I get the same. I look at the amazing menu and get the same thing, the Chateaubriand, every year.
It's like a creperie, right?
No. It is. It built in this shitty diner, and it's some of the best seafood and steaks that you've ever had.
All right.
French cuisine from this Cambodian diet. Yeah, hell yeah.
All right. Recommendation four.
Hold on. I'm consulting the notes.
All right.
Oh, website.
Ooh.
Website that people should go to that they don't. Not that anybody goes to websites that don't say Facebook on them anymore, but what website?
SRC. Is that what it's called?
SCP. And that's what I was going to say, too.
Ha-ha, boo, I got it first.
SCP Foundation.
SCP Foundation, which is like a bunch of made-up stories about sci-fi objects. It's like it's a classified government site where you can read about X-Files stuff.
It's like a database of articles about them analyzing cursed or odd or supernatural beings, objects, places, etc. And how they secure, contain, and project and protect them. Yeah.
That's Byron's car, by the way.
That's Byron's note on the door.
It is. Some of them cross-reference each other. Most of them are heavily redacted in some way. It's a rabbit hole, man. You'll lose hours at SCP.
Nice.
Tim? That'll be both makes sense.
Because I'm a movie nerd, I like boxofficemojo.com, which is a website where you can find out basically all of the box office information about basically any film ever released by day, by week, by month. So when people are like, ah, I can't believe how well or poorly this movie's doing, I'm like, well, actually, it only lost 35% from first weekend to second weekend, and that's really low.
That's
so,
pretty great. Yeah, you are a huge movie nerd.
Yeah. So
For me, it's Crack.
Okay.
For me, it's Crack.com.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
That's a great site.
I'm going to write for them eventually. I just had to get off my lazy ass and do it. I have to poop out some time somewhere. Because it's list-based humor, though they've been straying. They've been having some financial difficulties of late, and I don't know how much longer the site's going to be around. But when it fires on all cylinders, it is brilliant and well-reviewed, and they've got a very skeptical vent. And then finally, favorite city.
Oh, Minneapolis.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's where I, like, became a person, right? I'm fond of, like, the diversity, the nature, the culture, the cleanliness for an urban environment. Yeah, I genuinely love Minneapolis. I would retire there. I would, yeah. Yep.
City is what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I really loved Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I really liked it because I liked the biking ability. I liked the, for better, lack of a better term, the suburbs, the little villages that are around it. I haven't been to a lot of cities where I was like, I could live here. Usually I'm like, this is fine, but I want to go back to Minneapolis. But Amsterdam, I could see living there just because it felt very similar to here. But, like, climate-wise, but also, like, it felt like a very urban and dense place that didn't feel like New York City craziness, you know?
Yeah. I honestly don't know how people live in Minneapolis in the winter. I was dating a girl last year, and she was like, yeah, it's negative 65 with the wind chill.
Yeah.
And she shows me a picture of one of the walls of her room. And it's an external wall, and there are icicles coming through the socket.
Yeah, it was colder here than on Mars.
Yeah, that's dumb.
I mean, my first choice is where I live. I really do. There are so many great things about these cities. The weather is not one of them, but only some of the year.
Probably half.
But if I have to not say where I live, I would say San Francisco.
Mm.
And I'm fortunate that my brother lives there, so I get to go there a lot. But I think San Francisco is great. I love the architecture. There are so many amazing museums.
The hills.
The hills are cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're six hours from Yosemite National Park.
Oh, there it is.
You're about 10 hours from two other national parks. You're right on the ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many. It's a great city.
There's Rice-A-Roni just anywhere you want.
It's a treat. There's fucking cable cars. And I love cable cars. If I could ride cable cars every day of my life, I would.
Trains on the regular
there
road.
There are.
Minneapolis used to have cable cars.
San Francisco is one of the few that I haven't done yet, and it's on the list. I have several. That's why I was waiting. I waited last. You could put me back in Berlin in a New York minute. I loved Berlin. Same thing.
A German minute.
Yeah, much better. Same thing with London.
I did love London.
Portland has replaced Toronto as my favorite city on this continent.
Huh.
I've heard good things. I could get by there.
But if I had to, yeah, you could. It's this kind of vibe. It's this kind of hip. And in fact, the chick that I was staying with there was a Minneapolitan. So
a lot of Minnesota expatriates.
Did you say expats? Yeah.
Toronto is pretty fucking amazing. It's like New York land at Disney World. Because it's all of the excitement and adventure, but it closes at a reasonable hour, and no danger, but a sense of adventure, and no urine smell.
I was just going to say about the pee smell. My favorite part about New York was being able to scream, go fuck yourself, at any guy who talked to me. My least favorite thing was the pee smell.
But Sydney. Sydney was fucking amazing, and you could send me there to... Right now, just let me grab my kid. That's all. And maybe my dog. And then when it's time to retire, Christchurch, New Zealand.
That's
so, Mom, sorry you're dumb. But I watched your Shatner show. Sorry, he's dumb too.
So, you know, we all have idiot parents. That just happens. Yeah. So, you know, except for Tim, who has a great mom, awesome. but his dad's dead.
He
so
is
who knows?
Idiot
your dad could have been an idiot. We don't know.
Tim's but the idiot like... parent.
Oh, good point.
I mean, someday, Tim. Something
you know,
to aspire to.
The thing is, I think we've had a good conversation about, you know, woo and just all the prevalence of it. All we can do is keep fighting the good fight and call it out when you see it and make sure that you are that friend that doesn't get invited to parties anymore because people are tired of you giving them shit for the things they like.
Well, actually,
I don't need friends, so thank you so much, Ron. It's always a treat to have you. And look, we weren't packed into a sweaty trailer on a Sunday morning. It's a much more reasonable time. Please go see the Tortuga Twins if you're in town. Go to the Minnesota Renaissance Festival and don't offer Ron a drink because you're not an asshole.
I'll take it.
Just give him $5 instead.
Yeah, do that.
We have been Geeks Without God. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter. Please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. We usually have amazing audio equipment that we record it with, but we're not doing that tonight. And that's for the help of you, listeners like you.
I have an upgraded cable between my computer and the snowball.
It's red and it's pretty fancy, so thank you. Yeah.
For those who don't know, this microphone looks like the ball from Phantasm, so it's kind
really
of scary.
Does.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Anyway, thank you very much. If you have any suggestions for awesome atheist topics, we've been getting a few and it'd be really great to hear more, so send them our way. Other than that, we'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.
These SJWs are killing America.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
I knew if he just came in, she would bark, but it would be less barking.